The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 495 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And keep the tweets coming. I'm at the Sports RPT. Like to throw out some questions over the course of the podcast and get your response on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. 30 to 40 minutes. Fast-paced, high-energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. I often talk about parity in the NFL and how we never really know what's going to happen on any given Sunday. But when you look around the league right now, you see teams that are clearly separating themselves from the herd. We've got two NFC clubs, Philadelphia and New Orleans, with seven-game winning streaks. That's not supposed to happen in the National Football League. Minnesota and New England have won five straight. Pittsburgh, Tennessee, the Rams, they're riding four-game win streaks. The cream is rising to the top. This was separation Sunday in the NFL, and some squads are getting left behind. Dallas Cowboys always get a lot of publicity. They better be careful. They're already three games behind a red-hot Eagles team in the NFC East. These teams play Sunday night in Dallas. If the Cowboys lose, that division race is over. By the way, since I started the show, Adrian Claiborne has two more sacks. And that was only a minute and a half ago. Unbelievable. The Cowboys put that dude in the Pro Bowl. Six sacks in one game? Are you serious? Chaz Green got beat like a government mule. He was a human turnstile at left tackle. I mean, that was absolutely pathetic. Even Troy Aikman, the Cowboy himself, was ripping Dallas. Everybody was focused on Zeke Elliott not playing. They should have been talking about Tyron Smith being out. Claiborne looked like Reggie White. He'd be a Hall of Famer if he faced the Cowboys more often. And speaking of pathetic, how about the attendance for the Rams game versus Houston? You got a 7-2 team, and there are tons of empty seats at the Coliseum. It is embarrassing for LA. What a weekend in college football. Number one, Georgia. Number three, Notre Dame. Number six, TCU. And number nine, Washington all go down. And Alabama escapes Starkville with a 31-24 win. The Tide got a major scare from Mississippi State. The U is back. You may not like them. I may not like them. But they are back and back in a big way. How big? How about 41-8 over the Irish? I did not see this one coming. I did like Auburn to knock off Georgia and win that one outright. But there is no way that I thought the Canes would demolish Notre Dame like that. Wow. I was expecting a much, much closer game. Same for Oklahoma and TCU. The Sooners rolled, and Wisconsin remains unbeaten. So we have lots to talk about in college football. I'll give you my final four as of now. And Tuesday night is going to be an epic night if you're a college basketball junkie like myself. Duke and Michigan State, followed by Kansas and Kentucky. Wow. Is that an awesome doubleheader or what? And what's the deal with Kentucky only beating Vermont by four? The Cats have not looked good here early on, but I can't wait for that doubleheader. So a lot to talk about here on episode 495 of the Sports Report. You can chime in on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. If you have just a second, that's all it takes. We really, really appreciate the five-star reviews. For those of you listening in the podcast section of iTunes, that helps to promote the show. So let's get going here with the NFL. I've been saying that the Eagles have to be number one in the power rankings. 8-1, 7 consecutive wins, 5 double-digit wins already, only loss on the road against Kansas City, a good team, well-coached, very tough environment, one of the toughest places to win in the league. You have Carson Wentz at quarterback, just his second year, 23 TD passes, only 5 interceptions, and a rating of 104. He looks phenomenal. Their defense is number 1 versus the run. Philly had a bye this week, got to sit back and watch the other 3 teams in the division all lose. That's not a bad bye week there if you're an Eagles fan. The Cowboys, as I said, must win this Sunday night against the Eagles to have a chance at the division. Otherwise, Dallas is open for a wild card, and there are a lot of teams in that mix. The Cowboys actually led Atlanta 7-0. And then did not score the rest of the game. Dak Prescott was sacked 8 times. Claiborne set the team record with 6. This guy had 20.5 sacks in his career before the game. He had 6 in one day. I mean, how about putting a running back over on that left side? How about putting a tight end over on that left side to help out poor Chaz Green? That was the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Dallas also lost linebacker Sean Lee in the first quarter. Hamstring injury for Lee, who just never seems to be able to stay healthy. Really good linebacker out of Penn State, but he's hurt a lot. No Elliott, no Smith at left tackle, no Lee, and that equals no shot. 27-7 was the final. This was a game that Atlanta really needed at home. Both these teams 5-4, along with Detroit and Green Bay in the NFC. Plus, Seattle's a wild card team right now at 6-3. The Seahawks go to Dallas on Christmas Eve. That looks like a gigantic game in the NFC. And I don't love Seattle. I've talked about this before. The offensive line, very shaky. No running game. Richard Sherman now out for the season. And that defense just is not the same as it once was. But that's going to be a big, big game because the Rams look like the choice in that division and the Eagles look like the choice in the East. So Dallas and Seattle could be fighting for a wild card. There was some bad news for Atlanta. Running back Devontae Freeman suffered a concussion early in the game. Tevin Coleman, who's a good back, he took over, got 20 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Matt Ryan, 22 of 29, very efficient, 215 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Falcons looking up at the Saints. New Orleans went to Buffalo and hammered the Bills 47-10. Now, the weather wasn't bad up in Buffalo this weekend, but usually you think dome team like the Saints going to a cold weather city, they're going to struggle. They win by 37. And what stands out is how the Saints did it, running the rock, 48 carries, 298 yards. That is the third most in franchise history. Mark Ingram, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns. The young buck, Alvin Kamara, 106 yards on only 12 carries and a touchdown. They just ran it right at the Bills. Drew Brees only threw for 184 yards, no touchdown passes. And of course, I have him on one of my fantasy football teams. Just my luck. Story of my life. And that Saints defense, which used to be the laughingstock of the league, they're number 6 right now in points allowed, only giving up 18 a game. Now, I have to point out, as the king of objectivity and captain of reality, the last 4 wins are Green Bay without Rodgers, Chicago, Tampa Bay, and Buffalo. Those are the last 4 for the Saints. They did beat the Panthers in Carolina early on and won that game by 3 touchdowns. That's probably their best win. Saints play the Rams in LA in 2 weeks, and that is a very intriguing matchup to me. Both those teams are 7-2. This is episode 495 of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv and in the podcast section of iTunes. Much more in the NFL coming up, big college football segment. But first, got to tell you about our terrific sponsor. They've been with the show for a long, long time, and that is iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce, who's known as the Sleep Doctor, recommends these new iHome products, and he is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to iHomeAudio.com and take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Enter the code SPORTS for a 25% discount off of your purchase. How neat is that? Once again, enter the code SPORTS and you'll get 25% off of your purchase of these new Zenergy products. The website, one more time, iHomeAudio.com. Moving on here on episode 495 of the Sports Report, Rams have won their last three games by a score of 117-24. Let that sink in for a little bit. That is incredible. Again, in a league that usually we're talking about parity. They pummeled the Texans 33-7. Jared Goff threw for a career-high 355 yards and three touchdowns with no interceptions. Now, there were a lot of questions about Goff going back to last season. Is this guy going to be a bust? No questions now. 16 touchdowns, four interceptions, a rating of 101. He's only 23 years old. This offense is fun to watch. It's wide open. He found Robert Woods eight times for 171 yards and two scores. If you have Woods on your fantasy team, you're smiling from ear to ear right now. They erupted in the second half. A little bit of a slow start, but man, that third quarter came around and the Rams took off. This is their best start since 2001. Sean McVay deserves a ton of credit. I've been taking a wait-and-see approach with these guys. How can you not be impressed? Next up, a road trip to Minnesota. Another game that I'm looking forward to. A great defense against a great offense. The Vikings went to Washington and won 38-30. Vikings were up by 18 in the third quarter. How about that Case Keenum? 21-29, 304 yards, four touchdowns. Now, he did have two interceptions in the second half. Both these teams were around 400 total yards. That surprised me because Minnesota's defense is usually really good. Big day for Adam Thielen. Eight catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown. He was part of their leapfrog touchdown celebration. Remember that old video game Frogger? I mean, that's going way, way, way back there. Back when you had Atari and Pac-Man and games like Pong. The graphics weren't exactly what they are right now. But neat celebration there. Vikings are clever. They also did that duck, duck, goose routine after a touchdown. Now they went with the leapfrog celebration. The storyline that's getting a lot of play now involves Teddy Bridgewater. He was in uniform at Washington for the first time in nearly 2 years. And in the second half, at one point, when Keenum's throwing interceptions, he actually got his helmet. So the question is, when does he resume the reins? As good as Keenum looked at times against Washington, I think we can all agree you're not going to win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback. So in my opinion, if Bridgewater is 100% healthy, then he has to play. I know Minnesota's won five in a row, and usually you don't want to make a change when you're hot, you have a winning streak, especially at a marquee position like quarterback, but I'm a big picture type of guy, not a prisoner of the moment guy. Big picture, if you want to win it all, I think you have to go with Bridgewater. So if he is healthy, he has to play. Would you make the change? If you're Mike Zimmer, if it's your call, would you go with Bridgewater and sit Keenum? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. More questions coming up, but we'll start with that one. Would you go with Bridgewater in place of Keenum, who just threw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns? Again, I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Detroit and Green Bay are 2 games behind Minnesota in the North. The Lions trailed winless Cleveland 10-0 early, but the Browns showed exactly why they are the Browns. Number one, their tight end Seth DeVale gets stripped. The Lions return the fumble 44 yards to the house. And then second and goal at the 2 with 15 seconds left in the half, no timeouts. And this is the one that everybody's talking about. This blew up on social media on Sunday. DeShone Kizer gets stuffed on a sneak. Now, let me remind you, they're at the 2, all right? They're not even, like, at the half-yard line or the 1. They're at the 2, and they are out of timeouts. What are you doing? Time runs out. Cleveland gets no points. Nothing. Totally inexcusable. I mean, how do you even consider running the football in that spot? 15 seconds left, no timeouts. You have to know if you get stopped, you may run out of time. And that's why the Cleveland Browns are a joke. Plays like that. And then number 3, after managing to come back and take the lead in the 3rd quarter, Cleveland then gave up 3 touchdown passes in the span of 11 and a half minutes. Is this arena football? I mean, where was the defense there? And to top it all off, Kizer then threw a pick on 1st and goal with 1.5 minutes to play just to make sure that Cleveland would not cover the 10.5 point spread. Not that I'm bitter at all. Oh, no, not bitter a little bit. Getting 10.5, you got the lead in the 3rd quarter and you blow it. Oh, man, 38-24 the final. The Lions got a touchdown on a 3rd and 6, little dump-off pass. If you're not going to win, Cleveland, at least cover. Oh, and that fiasco at the end of the 1st half, that was an all-timer. Even for the Cleveland Browns, that was an all-timer. It was as bad as John Fox's challenge in the Bears' 23-16 loss to the Packers in Chicago. This was the other play that everybody was talking about on Sunday. Benny Cunningham was ruled out of bounds at the 2-yard line. Fox challenged, thinking that Cunningham had hit the pylon with the football and that it should have been a touchdown. After review, the officials determined Cunningham lost control of the ball and it was changed to a touchback. At worst, if you don't challenge, you have the ball at the 2 and it's a 1st down. Nope, you get nothing. No soup for you. For you Seinfeld fans. And Brett Hundley, I mean, he looked like Aaron Rodgers at times in this game. He made some throws. I didn't think there was any way that he could make these throws. How about the touchdown in the 4th quarter to Devontae Adams? Green Bay had not won a game in a month. The Packers just own the Bears. 8 straight wins now at Soldier Field. And the Packers are missing so many guys. I mean, not just Rodgers, but then 2 of their running backs, Aaron Jones, knee injury, Ty Montgomery, they both got hurt. They're banged up on the offensive line. This one caught me off guard here. I thought the Bears could do it. And that challenge, I mean, that's deflating right there. That should have been a touchdown. I was not surprised by the Sunday night result. Denver is a dumpster fire. I saw them against the Eagles. And Osweiler versus Brady. Let me think about that one. Tough call there. Patriots won 41-16. New England 7-2, 4-0 on the road. Great game plan by Belichick and company. Throw it all night to the tight ends and the running backs. Denver has really good corners. So you know what? They said, to heck with that. We're not even going to throw at them. Forget about our receivers. Let's just go to our running backs and tight ends. And it worked to perfection. Brady, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. 9 different players had at least 1 catch for New England. Patriots are the best team in the AFC right now. Pittsburgh is also 7-2, but the Steelers struggled against a horrible Colts defense. Pittsburgh simply is not good as a big favorite. That's always been their MO, and it was true again on Sunday. The Colts led this one 17-3 and managed to blow it. Ryan Shazier had a huge interception to put Pittsburgh at the 10-yard line. Ben Roethlisberger tied it up with a touchdown pass to a wide-open Vance McDonald. I mean, there was nobody around him. And then they got the 2-point conversion pass to Martavis Bryant. In the final minutes of the game, the Steelers marched 70 yards, including a 32-yard pass to Antonio Brown over the middle. And that set up Chris Boswell's game winner from 33, a 20-17 victory for the Steelers. Antonio Brown really had done nothing before that catch late in the game, and Le'Veon Bell was averaging 3 yards a carry. So it wasn't pretty, but a win is a win, and Pittsburgh is 7-2. To the AFC South, the Jacksonville, Tennessee tied at 6-3. Jags went to overtime with the Chargers in a game filled with bonehead mistakes and penalties. This probably should have ended in a tie. I think that would have been fitting. It did not seem like either team wanted to win this game. Josh Lambeau's game-winning 30-yard field goal was partially blocked, yet still made it over the crossbar. 20-17 was the final. Phillip Rivers made a crucial mistake in overtime. A.J. Boye intercepted a heave down the left sideline by Rivers on a ball that should not have been thrown. Boye then returned it all the way down to the 2-yard line. Game over. Each team had 2 turnovers, 16 combined penalties for 183 yards. It was brutal. Tough to watch. 2 taunting penalties on the Jaguars late in the game. 2 more picks for Blake Bortles, and they still won. Amazing. That's the Chargers for you. Austin Eckler had a killer fumble while LA was just trying to run out the clock, up 3 in the final minutes. Chargers now 3-6. Tennessee beat Cincinnati 24-20. The Bengals went up 3 after a 70-yard touchdown to A.J. Green with 5 minutes remaining. Tennessee answered with a 12-play, 73-yard touchdown drive capped by Marcus Mariota's 7-yard pass to DeMarco Murray with 36 seconds to go. Murray also had 2 touchdown runs. To the surprise of no one, Vontaze Burfict was ejected. He pushed the arm of an official in the second quarter over the sideline. Now, I saw the replay. It wasn't much, but that's a no-no. You can't touch the officials. If you're a player, you have to know that, especially somebody like Burfict, because let's face it. I mean, they're just looking for this guy to make a knucklehead move with his reputation. So he gets tossed, and then he's high-fiving fans. I mean, unbelievable. Who knows what's going on between those ears. This is the best start, however, for Tennessee since 2008. Finally, let's get to the New York squads. The Jets lost at Tampa 15-10. Ryan Fitzpatrick beat his old team. He threw for 187 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. The Bucs' 5-game skid finally over. Jets fall to 4-6. And that's about enough on this one. I have to give a shout out to my buddy Carl, a longtime listener to this podcast and a huge 49ers fan. Carl can finally celebrate a W. The 49ers ran over the Giants literally 31-21. San Francisco is winless no more. There you go, Carl. 186 rushing yards. C.J. Beathard The rookie out of Iowa passed for 288, two touchdowns. He ran for a score. Remember when the Giants had one of the best defenses in the league? I mean, I know they've been decimated by injuries, but geez, the Niners looked like, you know, Montana, Rice, Taylor, back there, Roger Craig at running back. The Giants are a hot mess. They are 1-8. Now, John Mara and Steve Tisch did release a statement saying, quote, Ben McAdoo is our head coach and has our support. Sure sounds like nothing's going to be done until after the season. And that's always been the track record of the New York Giants. It has been a disastrous season for Giants fans. All those injuries at wide receiver, and now losing by double digits every week. Even a winless Niners team beat you by double digits. That's our NFL segment here on episode 495 of the Sports Report podcast. Would you make a move at quarterback if you're the Minnesota Vikings? Do the Cowboys make the playoffs? Couple questions you can respond to on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. College football, Auburn, Miami, Oklahoma made big time statements on Saturday. Auburn knocks off number one Georgia 40-17. Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, who are two superstar running backs, they combined for just 48 yards on 20 carries. What a job by the Auburn defense there. The Tigers ran it for 237 yards, averaged 5.2 a pop. So many games are won in the trenches. Three touchdowns for Jarrett Stidham, the transfer from Baylor. So not only does Auburn win, Auburn wins by 23. And then Miami over number three Notre Dame, 41-8. Boy, was I wrong with this one. I was right with Auburn. What's wrong with this one? It was 27-0 at halftime, thanks to a 65-yard pick six with only 22 seconds left in the second quarter. That was the nail in the coffin. The Irish have to run the football. You look at the left side of that offensive line, the left tackle, the left guard, both probably first-round draft picks. So they want to pound the football, but you get down big like that, and all of a sudden, that's out the window. Notre Dame with four turnovers. You're not going to beat a good team on the road like that. And that place was jumping down there. Miami held them to 3 yards a carry. I mean, this is one of the better offensive lines in college football. 3 yards a carry. So it's set now. Miami versus Clemson in the ACC championship game. That'll be on December the 2nd. The Canes only beat Florida State by 4, and we know this is not a good Florida State team. They only beat Georgia Tech by 1. They only beat my alma mater, Syracuse, by 8. And then a real head scratcher, they only beat North Carolina by 5. The Tar Heels are 2-8. This isn't the same North Carolina team that had Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback last year. He's now with the Bears. So you play North Carolina and you only beat them by 5. So I had my doubts about Miami. I did. But I have to give them their due. I mean, that was a rout. 41-8 over Notre Dame. Whew. And then Oklahoma over TCU, who was number 6, 38-20. TCU had a solid defense. You know, I know we always bash in the Big 12 how nobody plays defense. TCU is the exception in that conference. And the Sooners still racked up 533 yards. All 38 points were in the first half for Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield passed for 333 yards, 3 touchdowns. He is the clear favorite now in Vegas to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, a big, big favorite. Saquon Barkley started out the year as the favorite, but Penn State's offensive line just isn't really good. They're actually down 6-0 to Rutgers. Now, they came back and won easily, but they still could not run the football against Rutgers. I mean, it's not just the good teams, you know, like Michigan and Ohio State or Michigan State. I mean, they can't run the ball against some average teams or below average, in this case, in Rutgers. So Baker Mayfield is your favorite. You also got to like Love out of Stanford. I think he's your second choice right now, but Mayfield the front runner. And that is a nice win against TCU by 18 points. Clemson was up 17-0 on Florida State, and I kind of stopped paying attention there. The Noles got within three in the fourth quarter. Tigers responded, though, with two short touchdown drives for a 31-14 win. An interception thrown by James Blackman was the backbreaker there. Blackman just 13 of 32, only 208 yards passing. The young quarterback struggled there for Florida State. Alabama had a tussle at Mississippi State. The Bulldogs led by a touchdown early in the fourth quarter. Tide went on an 82-yard touchdown drive, and then with 25 seconds to play, Jalen Hurts hit Devontae Smith over the middle for a 26-yard touchdown pass and a 31-24 victory for Alabama. Nick Fitzgerald threw a couple of Hail Marys at the end. The first one, they actually called pass interference against the Tide. Nick Saban was out in the field. He wasn't happy about that a little bit. But then the second Hail Mary by Fitzgerald, he threw it all the way out of the end zone. Got to give your receivers a shot there, right? Got to keep it in play just for fun. So Bama survives to go to 10-0. Wisconsin also unbeaten. The Badgers pulled away from Iowa in the fourth quarter and won 38-14. The Hawkeyes' touchdowns came on two Josh Jackson interception returns. So the Iowa offense was shut out 1 week after putting up 55 points on Ohio State. Double nickels. They beat the Buckeyes 55-24, and now this week the offense doesn't score a point. I still have no clue how that happened, how Iowa beat Ohio State like that. Iowa is 3-4 in conference play and managed to beat Ohio State by 31 points. Jeez. Oh. And then Ohio State comes back this week, of course, and just clobbers Michigan State, who had just defeated Penn State. You try and figure this out. 48-3, the Buckeyes over Sparty. Let the line lead the way. That's what I always tell you. I should follow my own advice because the Buckeyes were a big, big favorite. And I'm sure some people are wondering, what the heck is this line all about? Ohio State just got destroyed by Iowa. Michigan State just beat Penn State. Why is this line so big? Well, it ended up 48-3. They know what they're doing out there in the desert. So let me get to my top four right now. My playoff teams, I would have Alabama number one, Miami number two. The U is back. Both teams undefeated there. Number three, I would have Oklahoma. Wins over Ohio State, Oklahoma State, and TCU. I like the quality wins by Oklahoma. That's big for their resume. And then I have Clemson at number four. The Sooners and the Tigers are both 9-1. So that's my top four. Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, and Clemson. I do not have Wisconsin in my national playoffs right now. Best win for the Badgers was over Northwestern, and that's a 7-3 football team. And I look at that non-conference schedule. Utah State, Florida Atlantic, and BYU. You know my rule. Give me one. That's what I like to say in college football. Give me one. And I'm talking about your non-conference games. Give me one game against another quality power conference team. And Wisconsin doesn't do that. Utah State, Florida Atlantic, BYU doesn't cut it. So, you know, they deserve to be punished for that. And they really haven't played that many good teams. Like I said, they have a win over Iowa, but Iowa's 3-4 in the conference. So your best win is Northwestern. So I don't have Wisconsin in, even though they're undefeated. I have Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, and Clemson. And Auburn is still alive in this with what they have left. You know, playing Alabama, if they win that, maybe in the SEC championship game, which would be another, you know, quality win possibly there. So don't count out Auburn, even though the Tigers have two losses here. So that's my top four right now. Alabama number one, Miami two, Oklahoma three, Clemson number 4. And I would probably have Wisconsin in there at number 5 and then take a look at Auburn. So that's my top 4. What are your rankings right now in college football? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Who would you have in the playoffs, in the national semifinals? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. You can also weigh in on the NFL questions that I asked. If you want to talk college basketball, we can always do that. You know me, I love college hoops. March Madness, my favorite time of the year. So let me know what you're thinking on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. If you have a minute, we really appreciate those 5-star reviews. For those of you listening in the podcast section of iTunes, just go to iTunes, type in The Sports Report with Paul Roberts in the podcast section. My show will come up. And you can also go back and listen to all the previous shows if you're busy one week with work or, you know, doing stuff for the holidays, running the kids around. Hey, I get it. You can always go back and listen, though, 30 to 40 minutes each week on the podcast section of iTunes. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again next Monday. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.